Welcome back to the Even If Podcast. I'm Kinsey.
And I'm Sarah. And today we are talking about even if you're in your 30s and single, he is still good.
Mm-hmm. He is. Okay.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. You went on a date this week.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta tell us.
I did. I mean, there's not much telling. It was good. I feel like that's just a big deal because you and I don't really go on dates a lot.
Yeah, not really.
So yeah, I went on a date.
Yeah, you went on a date.
It's crazy. It's been a very long time since I've been on a date.
Mm-hmm.
It was very last minute too, which is probably what helped.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Impulsively last minute. Yeah, I went. I don't think there'll be another, but I did. And I put myself out there.
You did. And I'm so proud of you. And the reason why I'm bringing this up on the podcast, because she was mid telling me as we were setting up our equipment, she's telling me about this. And I was like, wait, pause, because this is so real and how to gracefully let somebody down and just say, hey, I'm not actually interested in moving forward. Like, how do you have that conversation? It's so hard. And it's just uncomfortable. And I think that's part of why I even sometimes avoid dating, because I'm like, I just don't want to have to tell the guy I'm not interested.
It's the worst. I don't know that I started telling you this story, so I haven't told you it yet.
But I know. I need to know.
I don't know that I would say I did it gracefully. First of all, I did one of these things. I was like, you know, he walks you back to the car. You're like, okay.
He's like, happening. I'm going to get another date.
I was like, thank you. I had so much fun. He's like, yeah. So could I see you again? I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I'm sure we'll see each other again, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I reached out a few times. So I'm just curious, like, what is that? Like, are you free this week? And I instantly was like, well, you know, I have Bible study on Monday, Tuesday. I'm recording the podcast. Wednesday, Thursday, I have my coaching clients. I was like, I guess I don't really have time. And he was like, okay. And I was like, well, I mean, I do have time. I definitely have time. Like, I want to get married. I could make time. I just don't know if I'd want, I don't know. Can I let you know? And I literally said that and walked away. And was just like, what just happened?
Oh,
and I
gosh.
Gave a little side hug and walked off.
Side hug. Like, he's like, I know I'm not getting a second date.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
He read that.
So I don't know. What do you do? So what I ended up doing, I'm not proud of it. I wish in the moment I would have had the strength and courage to be like, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed today.
Yeah.
But I don't see a future. I don't see us dating.
Yeah.
I think I just stumbled because I've been out of the game too long.
Yes, I know. It's so fun. I'm like, how would we do this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's always like, how would we want a guy to let us down? And rejection is never easy, but I think just to be super, I tend to over explain myself, like, hey, you know what? I have a lot going on. I'm really busy and da 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 da. And then I'm like, well, that's not even really true. I'm just making excuses to try to make him not be hurt. Mm-hmm. But whatever I do, it's kind of up to him on how he's going to receive that. My best friend has to let a lot of guys down because she's just one of those beautiful, gorgeous women that everybody wants to date. And she's gotten really good at it. So I actually help her draft her text.
Wait, what did she say?
She just is super clear about like complimenting him and it being really authentic. So it being specific to him, because she truly does enjoy these dates. She goes out with great guys. And then we just have gotten really good at working with each other on being direct at the end and just saying, hey, you know what? I just don't see this going any further than friendship.
Yeah.
Or I don't even see this further going. I don't see this going further.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it. Cause it's like what you say, what would we want? Like,
exactly.
I want direct.
Clear.
And like, I don't have time to date. That's a lie. I don't have time. And I would make time if it mattered, you know?
Totally.
And so it's just like, what's the truth? And this guy, there was nothing truly wrong.
Yeah.
Like he was a great guy. It just like, I didn't see it going further. I think just, yes, as direct as we can.
Yeah.
So anyways, I didn't do great at that.
So proud of you though. But honestly, too,
tried.
In the moment, like it's so much easier in a text or even on the phone, because then you can kind of have a moment to process. But in real time, right after a date, I think you actually handled that very well. Because I would have been like, oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. And then been like, shoot, I wish I would have just been super clear and honest in the moment. I just wasn't probably able to think
hard,
clearly.
That's
so
hard.
Proud of you. And also a date. Yay.
Thank you. We did it. We got out there.
We got out there.
Okay. So first question for you.
Yes.
Is the question, how are you still single? Because I want to dive into this question. I think I get asked it a lot. I know you get asked it a lot.
Yeah.
So one, what did you say to that? And how do you feel when people ask that? Because it's such a silly question. How are you still single?
Yeah. And you're like, I don't know. Do you know the answer?
So So how do you feel about that question?
I know. Well, it's funny because I turned 34 in a few days, and I think that's a big driver for this, for me, for this podcast, is being able to talk about, especially this episode, about singleness and dating. And as we dive into that, it's probably the thing I get asked the most on Instagram and just talking with girls. But I don't mind that question. I really don't mind that question. I think it's kind of a compliment of like, how are you still single? You're like, oh my gosh, thank you. Yeah, I wonder too. Sometimes I am like, I don't know, but I think I have a lot more clarity now being almost 34. I am still single because I haven't met the one yet. That's what I have just reframed this as, of like, that's how I answer it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel about it. I think it's kind of a compliment when people are like, oh my gosh, how are you still single? It's better than being like, yeah, she's still single because she can't get XYZ together. You know, it's those are, and not that anyone says that, but it is refreshing because sometimes you can get in your head and be like, okay, did I get it wrong? Did I mess it up? Sure. How am I 34? And though it's still very young, I still kind of get in my head about it. That's the way that the enemy works with me specifically. So I don't mind the question. And my answer is I haven't met the one worth marrying yet.
Yeah.
My standards are really high.
And they should be.
And they should be. Yeah. So what about you? How do you feel about that question?
I feel like I have mixed feelings.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I agree. It's such a compliment. I'm like, thank you. And sometimes it's like, it probably depends on where I am.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I hear that and I'm like, I don't know. And I want to be like, I don't know. Do you know something I don't know?
Yeah.
How am I? Is it something I'm doing?
Yeah.
Is it something I've said? Is it my past?
Totally.
And again, like you said, it's the enemy. But when somebody's like, how are you? What am I supposed to say? Well, I don't know. I'm not great in relationships. Or
I
don't know.
Is that evidence because I don't have one? Like, that can't be it. Surely. Come on.
No, I don't know. I think, so I would say it probably just depends on where my heart's at.
Yeah.
And, but I think sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's, like you said, a compliment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know, but you're right. I mean, it is. I think that's a beautiful response of just, I haven't found the one. If there's one person for you, which is like, I don't know, that's a whole nother topic, one or is there not?
Yeah.
But when you find the person that you choose and
that you choose,
God's timing, it all works out.
Yeah.
There's so many no's.
Of course.
So there's all these no's and you haven't found the one.
Yeah.
And there has to be all those no's because there's only one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Finding the one that's worth marrying. That's like you're going to attach your life to. So I'm so with you on that. Okay, so do you think you've ever really been in love?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's so hard.
When you brought that up the other day when we were planning this podcast episode, I was like, that is such a good question.
Yeah. And I thought about it for a little bit and I still just feel like it's both. I mean, have I been in love? When I look at my past, yes, there have been amazing men that I've dated and I have loved. And I think absolutely you can love multiple people. And I am such a lover that if I've met you for 5 seconds, I love you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
girl,
you
guy,
are. You absolutely
kid,
are.
Adult. I just, I'm a lover.
Yeah.
And so I genuinely think that some men I've dated in my past, yes, I have loved.
Yeah.
But then I think about like what real biblical love is and like love within marriage. And we were talking about this and we opened up to 1 Corinthians 13. And I know that this is such a common verse when we talk about love, but I think it's worth reading. So 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends.
Love never ends.
Love never fails. I think there's a lot of different versions for that verse, but I think sometimes when I read these things, I'm like, I don't know if that was the love I experienced in these relationships. I don't know if it was infatuation or if it was lust or what it was. But I think looking back, I definitely had love for these guys.
Yeah.
I've loved them and I'm sure they loved me back. But I guess just maybe not love in the way that, and not that it wasn't even biblical love, but not love for my husband.
Yeah. The way that's intended. Yeah.
So. What about you?
Good question. You know, yes, I've been in love, but then again, the same thing. I'm like, man, have I actually ever loved according to what the word says? And have I been loved according to what the word says? And I think there's variations of that scripture that we can take and be like, love is patient, love is kind. Obviously, we're human. We're going to be irritable. We're going to, you know, be selfish at times. But
yeah.
I've definitely been in love. I've loved guys I've dated, but I think some of it, honestly, some of it was probably a trauma bond, or something that I went through. I think looking back on my history, it makes sense why it didn't work out with any of those guys. And I'm grateful for that. Honestly, I've learned so much. But I don't think I truly love the way that it is intended for marriage. And I don't think, and I've learned so much about what that's going to look like for me now and what I pray and mm-hmm. what my standards are. Mm-hmm. Now that I know exactly what to a degree, what I want and what I'm looking for. But yeah, I think the answer is I've never been loved like that by a man.
Okay, share a little bit about your past and
yeah, my dating
guys. Yeah, your dating
my
past.
Dating past.
The juicy stuff.
Let's
how many
see.
Boyfriends? Have
how
you
many
had?
Boyfriends? Oh gosh, I have had like three. Okay, so you have the first love. First love, great guy.
Like, how old were you?
Gosh, I met him when I was like 7.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, we had like our first kiss under the coat closet.
What? At 7?
Yeah, at like 7. Our moms were really good friends. Oh, yeah. We were like, oh, yeah. And then reconnected in college and we dated and.
Wait.
I loved him. Yeah, aww. I really loved him. Really good guy, just not my guy.
Yeah.
And he was like my first love. And mm-hmm. that took up a lot of like my kind of high school, early 20s. Never really seriously dated after that for a while. And then I had two serious boyfriends, late 20s, early 30s. And and just learned a lot. One of them was honestly a pretty unhealthy, toxic relationship, mm-hmm. Which I'm sure we've all experienced. And as hard as that was and as painful as that was, I wouldn't trade it. Mm-hmm. One, for the people that it brought into my life, but two, the woman that it made me.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I've really reconciled with the Lord the last year is like, thank you for making me this woman. And because of what I went through and because of what that looked like, I feel like I'm going to be such a better wife. So
oh, you will. And I have seen so much growth and change in you.
Thank you.
And
thank
you. I mean, I know
yeah.
your a couple past relationships that you've had and yeah. to see what happened and what you went through in this last one too.
Yeah.
I mean, it did change you.
It did.
And
yeah, it did.
I think you are the way I've seen you walk with the Lord and your strength and your desire not to settle and to reach out to women and be there for women. I mean, I'm sorry. And I hate that you had to go through some of that.
Yeah.
And what a gift to so many women. Also.
Thank you. So sweet. Yeah. Thank you. I honestly, and that's, I always say too, like in the classes I teach and just when I am talking with young girls, it's like, I want my pain to be purposeful. And so I've had women reach out to me and I will make time for coffee with them and they'll say, hey, people I don't even know. Or one girl reached out to me. I haven't seen her since college. She's a couple years younger. Like, hey, I am going through a terrible breakup and I know that you went through a really hard one. Can we get coffee? I'm like broken. I was like, of course.
Wow.
Cleared my day. Like,
wow.
Because for me, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
I know what that feels like. And so,
yeah. You
know, my dating life hasn't been successful because I'm still single,
would you say that?
Well, actually, no, you're right.
I mean, success mean?
What is it like, redefining success?
Know.
Honestly, my life coach tells me that even in my business, she's like, we need to redefine what success looks like for you in this season. That's work specifically. But I think when we were preparing for this podcast and I was driving up here, I was just praying and being like, okay, Lord, I know that when I'm 70 or 80 or 90, if I live that long, I will be able to look back at my life and be like, oh, it all makes sense. But I don't want to live for those days. You know, I don't want to live for the moments where it's like, it's all going to make sense one day. I want to live as full as I can right now. So back to that whole, like, it was successful, I guess, because it made me this woman. So I don't have regrets. I think the hardest thing for me, if I'm being super honest and vulnerable, which is what I want to do here on this podcast, is it's my age. I feel like I literally am like Benjamin Button. I get younger. I feel more alive. I'm in the best shape of my life. Like, I feel like my spirit's so alive. And so turning 34 on Friday, I'm like, what?
Right.
So my dating life to the world probably looks like, why can't this girl get married?
Mm.
But it's just like, no, I have to kind of rewire some things in my brain. And I have to change some things that I maybe grew up watching and being used to. And then also too, just haven't met the right guy. And so I'm like, man, the Lord must be really protecting and saving me for someone really special. And that's what you have to, as women, like, you have to reframe that and tell yourself that, because otherwise you're just going to honestly sit in disappointment constantly. And I don't want to live there. So
yeah.
I would say that has been a huge game changer for me. But all that to say, my dating life, I've only really loved, so I thought, three guys, and really have never been like, I'm not the hookup girl. I'm not the girl that you're, you know, I just, it's just not ever been the way that I've liked to operate. Not because, you know, when I was younger and not a Christian, it wasn't even that I didn't want to do that because I didn't think that that was good to do or right to do. I just, I've always been more, a little bit more introverted. Dating always kind of scared me. Relationships kind of scared me. It's funny that that's the one thing that does scare me. So anyways, I'm getting on a tangent, but that is kind of my dating life. I've dated a couple guys, two guys I thought I potentially saw a future with, and then one that I was just young and very in love, and we've all kind of been there too.
For sure.
Okay,
for sure.
I want to know yours. I'm sorry. I just want to know yours. I mean, I know yours, but I want you to share yours.
It's funny. I never heard about your little seven-year-old crush.
I know, my seven-year-old. I forget it. I don't forget about him because we're still friends, but but yeah, he's a great guy, and it was really fun, and I had that like very young love that was really special at that time.
I think that's just interesting too, talking about success in relationships, because I think you said your life coach tells you this too, but it's like, what does success mean? Because I think a lot of times culture tells us success is when we get married, have kids, have the house, and then we're successful. But like, what does God say? And like, he doesn't look at us and he's like, oh, Kenzie, you're not successful. You're not doing what you should be doing because you're not married and you don't have a house. And you don't like,
No.
But culture can tell us that. And 100%. I think we have to remind each other that I am not any less successful.
Yep.
Because of that. Now, if we use success as, did I have a successful or a failed relationship? I've had failed relationships.
Yeah, or like they didn't work out.
But I know that's what you meant.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's so important to even just remember that relationships aren't everything.
Yeah, they're not.
That's not like our reason for being on
Earth.
And marriage, I think relationships are, and having a relationship with the Lord is our purpose.
Yes.
But marriage isn't always. I mean, Paul says that.
Yeah, it's not. And, you know, a few weeks ago, we celebrated one of our friends that went off and started her own business. Mm-hmm. And I think I got on my Instagram on a story and just took a moment and was like, y'all, this is what life is about. Yeah. Like, and being able to celebrate women that are doing things other than getting engaged and having babies. And as wonderful as that is, and when we are in that season,
celebrating.
Oh my gosh, celebrating huge. Yeah, yeah, but I also am just consciously very aware now at this time in my life of celebrating the wins of my people that don't have anything to do with getting a ring on your finger.
Yeah.
Because it's just as important. We just, our culture doesn't celebrate that, because to the world, we're, you know, get married, have kids, get married, have kids. But there's so many women out there starting businesses and getting out of toxic relationships, buying houses, doing these things that should be celebrated. There's more to it than just getting married.
You do such a good job celebrating.
Oh, so do you. You're so good at it. You're so good at it.
Okay, my past.
Yes, I want to hear.
Okay, so I didn't have my first kiss till I was like 14.
Oh, so I beat you.
Twice your age.
Yeah, twice my age. Oopsie.
No, but I feel like I have three brothers, so I just grew up enjoying being around guys. I feel like I had a lot of guy friends, guy friendships. And then I guess I would say I had a high school boyfriend, a college boyfriend, a couple flings after, but kind of one of those that I knew it wasn't the right thing. I was kind of in this season of, I was living up in Nashville downtown and enjoying relationships, but kind of non-committal on both ends for me and him, and kind of had some hard times, hard seasons there of just like, I know this isn't what I want, but I was so desperate for a relationship.
Yeah, I get that.
And I look back and I hate that part of me and I hate that part of my story. And also the Lord used it.
Absolutely. He used it.
I had a COVID relationship, which I just joke about.
A COVID relationship.
It was just really short. Epic. I don't know.
What did that look like? A COVID relationship.
I don't know. Like, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, okay. Let's leave it for another time.
It's kind of a quick fling. Okay. And then I had a serious boyfriend when I was living in Charleston. And so, yeah, I look back and I think the Lord used, so I guess what I was at, four boyfriends that I've had, and or maybe, yeah, three or four, that the Lord really used them in my life.
Mm.
And I learned so much. And as far as that goes, success, as far as the relationships, failure.
Hey, failure is just information. Somebody wise once told me that. It's just information.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the past. Now we're here. We're moving forward. Going on
moving
dates.
Forward. Going on
figuring
dates.
Figuring out what's next.
Figuring out how to tell them when we don't want to move forward. Oh, another one bites the dust.
Yes. Okay. But with all the guys that you've dated, or yeah, I guess you're three, because I think we both would say probably three.
Yeah.
You have three.
Three.
I probably have.
I'd say three.
Three in the midst of some flings and things.
Yeah, mixed of flings and fun
flings
things.
Flings and things.
You know, that's the flings and things. Those are fun.
With any of the guys you dated, did you ever think you were going to marry one of them?
Gosh. Yes and no. one of the guys I dated told me he had a ring. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. And I wanted to be married to him in a way. And I think I, in the back of my mind, like, convinced myself, well, I'm at that age and we both love the Lord and I love his mom. He's a great family. You know, surely this is probably what it is. And thinking, like, nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to convince myself in a way, but there was something deep in my gut that told me this is not it.
Yeah.
So, yes, I definitely thought, a part of me was like, yeah, I will end up marrying this specific person. Mm-hmm. But deep in my gut, I just knew. And I think they say...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You knew it in your gut.
I knew it in my gut, but I was ignoring it. Mm. And that's what I tend to do. And I tend to be somebody... going to be a great quality one day when I'm married because I'm fiercely loyal.
Yes,
so I will stay in something and do whatever it takes to try to make it work. I will throw myself into therapy. I'll throw myself into whatever I need to do to work on myself. Mm. But there's two sides of the street. And I think one of the things that I'm really grateful for, obviously, is the failed relationships because it wasn't the right thing. And they say, you know, and you know. Mm. And I've heard people say that. And I just have never, to my gut, with the peace and with it all making sense and with community being on board and with my family being on board, that has never happened yet. So to answer your long-winded answer, yes, I wanted to think that, yes, I was going to marry a couple of these guys, one in particular. Did I ever really, truly in my gut believe it? No, I've never felt that.
That's interesting.
What about you?
Yeah, well, I was like thinking even just, I mean, guys from high school and college, I think were just such, I was young.
Yeah.
And maybe at the time thought I loved them, but looking back, like, would have been crazy. Just not good relationships.
Yeah.
But I think... Yeah, like I wouldn't have dated them if I didn't think I was going to marry
them. Yeah, exactly.
I think any guy I've dated, I date to marry.
Yeah.
Especially in the past, later 20s, once I was like ready to get married.
Yeah.
And 30s have dated to marry. But it is interesting because I think sometimes I have dated guys and there's been like the, family's kind of just like, or friends are like, I don't know if this is the best you, or kind of like what you said.
Yeah.
And not that we need to really care about everybody's opinion. I mean, literally God's all that matters. But I think people who know you well, that's so important to listen to.
So important.
And
so important. It's key.
I've dated guys who I didn't really know their friends, but I thought I loved him. And then you kind of get to know their friends and it's like, I don't know if this is the lifestyle I see myself living or my future. And so, yes, I think I've dated every guy thinking I was going to marry them, but I don't know that I've ever felt like this is for sure it. I probably have said, I could see myself marrying this guy or I want this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know. It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's like, we're not a podcast over here telling you like how to know when it's the one because we don't know.
I know. I know.
Which is crazy. And like, I am so curious. Like, are you going to know when you know?
Yeah.
Is it going to be so obvious? Like, I pray that I'm like, Lord, make it so obvious.
I know.
Like,
I do the same thing.
To just know.
I know.
But I don't know.
I know. And that's
the
thing
too.
We're here.
Yeah. I'm not telling you.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know. And I feel like that's it's a conversation I have with my girlfriends all the time. And you. It's like, okay, so we know there's no perfect person out there.
Right.
And love is a choice. And even my life coach, who's been married for like 25 years, she's constantly telling me, Kinsey, you choose that person and you make it work. And I obviously think there's somebody worth tying your life to. Like, you've got to make sure. And I will say, like, for me in my past, not one guy have I dated that my family's been, my brother specifically, has never
brothers are
liked
everything.
Anybody that I've dated.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he hasn't. And it's not
for
he's
what?
Very,
for good reason?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got, my brother is my favorite person in the entire world. And he's just like a man of such high integrity and character. Mm. And he's just got such a good head on his shoulders. He's so steady. Nothing rocks his boat. I mean, it's not that he doesn't get flustered or angry. He just knows how to show that in a really respectful way. But he's very protective of me. And he has never once been like, yeah, this is it. Or I love this guy for you. Or I love who you are when you're with this guy.
Yeah.
And of course,
they just know us.
They
well.
Just know.
Yeah.
And brothers are just different. Girls, we can get caught up in the like, oh my gosh, I love this person. And we tend to always see the good. But I feel like guys can really sniff it out. Mm-hmm. And you have three brothers, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, my brother has never been a fan of anyone I've brought home. And not that I brought a lot of guys home, but he's just been like, either he won't say anything, which is usually what it is. And when I ask, he's vocal, and he's been very vocal. So,
okay. Having had that pattern with your brother and continued relationships, like, do you feel, where are you now? Like, do you feel like you have lost hope in dating, or how does it feel when it's like every guy I've brought home, Trex, your brother, does not like, and what's this going to be like this time?
Yeah.
And like, do you have such hope? How do you have hope?
Such a good, I do have hope. I still have hope. Absolutely. I definitely have moments where I'm like, Lord, I'm turning 34 and I am still single. And what exactly are you doing? And then the second that I say that, I go, oh, I actually see everything that you're doing with my singleness. And I'm so grateful. So yes, I still have hope. Do I feel hopeless at times? Sometimes. But what's crazy, Sarah, is like when I do get discouraged about my singleness, it's like the Lord will not let me stay there. It's crazy. Like, I'll feel upset about it and I'll feel kind of like,
that's
okay.
So cool.
And then I'm just like, okay, Kinsey, remember, like, you, look how far I've brought you.
Yes.
Look how I have delivered you. 8 months ago, you didn't even live in Nashville, you know? And so I just look at the evidence of my life and I go, thank you, Jesus, that I haven't married anybody that I've previously dated. And so I get hopeful and I turn some of that like anxiety or just like maybe even discouragement. And I've really been trying to turn it into curiosity and go, okay, Lord, like what color of hair does he have? Not idolizing
so
it,
fun.
But like, who is he?
Well, we have the whole future has a dream of what he looks
idea.
Like. I love that.
No idea. And so whenever I'm driving, it's usually when I'm driving and it makes me, one day I was like started crying like tears of like excitement and joy. Because I'm so excited to meet him and love him. Like, I can't wait to just have kids and raise a family. Like, but I don't just want to do that with anyone. I want to do it with someone that is like a best friend kind of love. And I've never had that. And so that gets me excited and that makes me hopeful. And in the meantime, I'm living my life and I'm really trying my best to take full advantage and go, I have been given the gift of so much girl time with the best friends ever. I love what I get to do for work, even though there are days it's really hard
for
like
sure.
everyone.
Yeah.
I am close to my mom physically. I get to live near her again, which has been such a gift. Yeah. I'm back in my favorite city. Like, there's so much to be grateful for. So I would say, yes, I obviously am a human and I have moments, but I just, even when I try to be sad about it, even if I like put on some Bon Iver and I'm like, I just want to be in my feels today and like be sad that I'm single. The Lord's like,
songs,
he just break up
sad songs. Girl songs.
Read, sometimes
so
I read old journals and I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, it just, it's been such a gift that it's like impossible. And I'm a very emotional person. Like, I feel everything, high empath over here. Like, I can't avoid it. And even one of my really good guy friends, we're having a call and he's a lawyer and he was like giving me some advice on some work stuff. And he's like, I love you, but like, you need to not wear your emotions on your sleeve everywhere you go. And like, we need to not do that for a little while with this work thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so true. I really do. And so I am a feeler, but I also, the Lord has been really sweet to just protect me in not letting me stay there for too long.
But I think that is the sweetest thing right there, is that it's the truth of, gosh, this is so hard. This is so sad. And then he always comes through. He always provides.
He does.
He always does that. And sometimes I think we just don't see it, or we're not looking, or we're not aware. And I was talking to one of my best friends, Summer, about this recently. And she was like, it's just so exciting. Because we have no idea what the future looks like.
Exactly.
We're going to know at some point.
Yeah.
Like, our friends are married. They have kids. They kind of know where they live. They kind of know what's going on. They know what school their kids are going to. Like, they have this. We are still such, and maybe this is the seven in me. I'm just like always like
fun,
wildly hopeful.
Central. Yeah.
Like, it's also fun. It's an adventure. But like, I have no idea where he lives or what he looks like or what he does for work or the life that we're going to create together. And sometimes that, like, the Lord reminding me of those things even can feel so exciting.
Exactly.
And hopeful.
And think of, like, you haven't even been home. What, you got home in, remind me again.
I moved back in May.
May.
Yeah, I know.
It's been less than 6 months. Yeah. That's the thing about it. It's like the Lord can do so much with a willing heart. Like, that's key. He can do so much in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And one of my best friends is getting married in Italy in July. And we were talking about, I know. and you know, we're going to make it a girls trip. And like, we're going to stay and travel after she gets married. She'll go on her honeymoon. Obviously, she's not going to come on the girls trip. But we're like going to live. And then I'm also like, wow, like, I could have a significant other by And not putting pressure, but you have no idea. Yeah. Like, July is so far away. So it's just, that's something that also helps me when I get, if there's anyone listening that's in their head about their age, you know, yes. I get it. I feel you. But don't forget how quickly things can change for the better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How do you stay? What are some ways that you stay hopeful? Like, specific, like, tactful. Tactful? Tactful? Is that the right word?
Tactical.
Tactical. That was the word I was looking tactical? For. Some did tactical? Yeah. I meant what did I say? Tactical?
I think you're saying
good
it.
Good Lord. Okay. What are some
real
ways, like, if we were to be like point A, point B, what are some ways that you stay hopeful?
No. I think surrounding myself, I've been in communities where it's all married friends in me. And sometimes that's super hopeful for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is what I want. I see these incredible marriages and kids, and I dream of the future I want. And sometimes it's really hard.
Yeah.
And then I have my single girlfriends, and I'm like, this is so fun. Like, we can encourage each other and be together. But then sometimes that can be hard, being like, does anybody here want to get married? Are we all hopeless over here? You know? And I feel like, honestly, for me, it's been finding that balance. Of
the balance is key.
And spending time with married friends and family and seeing those relationships. And then also having single time. And I was with one of my girlfriends recently and just talking about my longing to be married. And she was like, first of all, when other people can believe for you is such a gift. My mentor, Karen, says that all the time. She's like, I'll believe when you can't. Like, I'll believe for you when you can't believe for yourself.
So key.
Like, oh, I love
so
that.
So key.
But she was telling me, she's like, I believe this for you. And also think about this right now. Like, you could be married right now. And if you were, you would be completely investing into your two children, four children, however many. Yep. You'd be fully investing in them.
Yep.
But right now, because you're single, you have the ability to be a full-on life coach. And I work at a gym, and I'm in the weight room all the time, investing in high school girls and college girls. And I get to pour into hundreds of girls. And I'm so grateful for the season. And I think I have to remind myself, like, the Lord is doing something in this season. And not that he can't if you're married. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
No.
Of course he still can. But it's just like, different. I don't have that responsibility. Like, my family would be my priority. Mm-hmm. My kids would be my priority. Mm-hmm. And so I have the flexibility and the time more than anything to be able to do these things that I just think the Lord has called me to. So I feel like when I feel hopeless, I see what are ways, like you said, even like, what are ways he has provided. And the things that, when we feel like it's easy to complain about things, or I'm just complaining about why not this or why not this, look back and see the ways that God has been faithful.
So good.
And I can be like, oh, why am I not married? Or why can't I do this? But I'm like, look how he has been faithful and delivered me from this relationship. Mm-hmm. Look how faithful he's been and given me this dream job to invest in young women.
Exactly.
Look how faithful he's been to, in the right timing, move me back to my hometown and be in a city where my parents and three brothers and their amazing wives and kids live. Like, he is so faithful.
He's so faithful.
And I think that's where I find my hope, is just,
I love that.
And that, and that's so cliche, but truly he is.
No, it's so true.
If I didn't have the Lord,
I
would be totally hopeless.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I also feel like, too, the key that I have been learning through all this, too, that I've watched in your life so clearly over the last 7 years that we've been friends, is obedience is obviously the key as a believer. You want to be obedient. That's like God's love language, right? Like, he wants us to just be obedient to him, and he wants to love us no matter what. And I think a lot of times we are obedient because we want to get whatever's on the other side of obedience. So it's almost like you're trying to have the right intention,
like,
but you're still
God.
Like tricking God, like, okay, I'm gonna do all these things for, like, you're gonna bring me that guy, right? Like, on the other side of this, like, this is gonna happen, right? And I'm not saying that, like, I don't ever think about that, of like, okay, Lord, I'm really doing everything that you asked of me, like, can you please provide the one thing that I want? But I will say, through failed relationships and trials with work and moving back to Nashville and all these things that, honestly, I didn't see going for me the way that it did, I have learned to fall in love with being obedient, and it's caused me to really surrender. And that's like where I'm at now. It's this full surrender in singleness. It's not even this contentment. Cause, like, here's the thing. That's why I love that you and I are talking about singleness in our 30s, because we're freaking single. You know what I mean? Like, how many podcasts do I have to listen to of, like, people talking about singleness and they're not single, or they're married, or they're like, we had to wait really long until they're like 27. I'm like, honey, if I had to wait till I was 27, that's still a baby to me. Like, that's still so young. Not that 34 is not young, but I really believe that being fully surrendered in singleness means you get to the end of yourself and you go, honestly, if I go meet Jesus tomorrow, I feel like I've lived a really fulfilling life.
Yeah.
That's surrender. Because at the end of the day, like, I've tried it my way. I've tried it my way a lot. And I've tried to hold the pin. I've tried to write this story. Or I've clung on. Honestly, I've just white knuckled relationships.
For sure.
Until the point where it's, you know, really destructive. And so I also just think with everything that you and I have walked through and been through, I see this in your life and I feel this in my life now too, of I find joy in being obedient, even if it means there's nothing on the other side for me.
And that is what it means to follow the Lord.
It really does.
Like, there's joy in just that.
Yeah. And I'm sure people are listening, are like, well, then how do I get there? And it's like, it's a lot of work. It's having yourself around the right people. It's prayer. It's time alone. It's going through really hard things and falling down and choosing to get back up again and continuing to move and watch the Lord just literally work in your life to the point where you are like, all I have is you. So honestly, I'm going to make the most of whatever time I have left.
That's so good.
And I'm not perfect at it, but I will say, instead of it being content in singleness, the way that the church frames it a lot can feel like, I don't know what contentment should feel like, because we're always going to desire marriage. You and I are, we want to be moms. I mean, arguably I would love to be a wife and I want to have and make babies, but I want to raise kids and be a mom. I think, and I want that so bad. But at the same time, it's like, I've surrendered that and laid that down at the Lord's feet and been like, if that's not your plan for me, okay, well, I better live up the life that you've given me.
Yeah.
You know, right now.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, that's it. That's like what we talk about, back to even if, like, this is my desire.
Yep.
But getting to the point where I can truly say it and believe it, this is my desire to be married and have an amazing, hot husband and have some beautiful babies.
Yes. And enjoy the process of making those babies.
And enjoy it all. And even if, God, you are enough.
Yes.
God, even if, God, you are still good.
Yeah.
Even if, God, I know there is purpose. And I think that is a big thing too with the surrender. It's in the midst of us figuring out how does it look, what does it look like to surrender? How do we surrender? But realizing, God, what are you doing in me?
Yep.
And what are you doing through me?
Yes.
And
so good.
In me is like, okay, yeah, that's where we're going to our therapy. We're going to our coaching. We're reading the word every single day. We're learning more about him. We're investing in the community. But then through me, like, what, how can I be used in this time of singleness? And if my purpose here on earth is to glorify him and all I'm doing, how can I do that best in singleness? When my desire is, yes, to be a mom and a wife. But how do I do that?
Yeah.
And I think just asking him that.
Asking him.
Walking in that.
Yeah. Walking in that. And I was watching, honestly, it was like an Instagram reel of one of my favorite pastors, Preston Morrison. And then he had Megan Fate on his, I think he had her on his podcast. But she was just saying, get honest. Like, if you're having a hard time feeling intimacy with the Lord, get honest with the Lord. Like, he already knows it, but he really wants you to come to him and say,
yeah,
I'm frustrated.
Yes.
And I actually did that. I think I did that about a week ago. And I hadn't been feeling super intimate with the Lord, because I think, you know, when life is decently good, you're just kind of like, okay, get up, have my time in the word, go to work. But I just was like, not really craving it the way that I have, obviously, on a day to day, or even when I'm going through really hard things.
Yeah.
And I just got honest. I was like, Lord, you know what? I'm a little bit frustrated this morning that I'm about to turn 34 and, you know, I don't really have a huge desire to date. Like, I could take it or leave it. What does that mean? That kind of scares me, all these things. And I just want to encourage anyone that's like, okay, hearing us talk and be like, okay, this sounds so great, but like, I'm really frustrated. Well, then go to the Lord about that and tell him. He already knows that. And watch what he's going to do with that.
He's
and
not then scared of
he's
that.
He's not scared of that. And go to your girlfriends.
Yeah.
And like, the amount of times Sarah and I have sent voice memos, like either crying or just like, I'm frustrated about this or that, or, you know, scared to date again, which is a whole going to be probably a whole nother podcast of like when you're ready to start dating and what that looks like. But go to your girlfriends and just say, I'm fresh. Like, be honest. You don't have to act chipper. But from there, that's how God's going to work. It's like, if you need to know where you're starting to know where you're going to go. And I actually said that in class today. I was just like, you need to know where you're at and then get really honest and then move forward. And I think that's how you can get to the perspective that you and I have fought really hard to get to. We didn't just happen to sit on this couch and talk about singleness in our 30s and feel really grateful for it. It's taken a lot of work and a lot of surrender, and it's daily surrender of that. But I would say that it's absolutely possible, because I don't think I've met two people that want to be moms more than me and Sarah. So, and also we're in our 30s, and it's in the South, like, it's just not super common to be in your 30s and be single. And I definitely struggle with thinking, like, did I do something wrong, or maybe sometimes what do you think people think about me if and I'm again, 34
but that's
and single?
Like talking about sending voice memos, talking to each other. Like when you say those things to me, I can literally look at you and be like, Kenzie, no, you didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. The Lord had you in this season right now because you've been building a business that has been changing women's lives. Yeah. Like I just saw something that a text from a friend that you were showing me about the impact you've made on her and like how the words you spoke in class and that you need to be doing a podcast to share these things. Like when you can't remember that for yourself and believe it for yourself, like I am honored to do that. And I think
the best,
the power of girlfriends and friendships and people who know us to be able to say that and say like, I don't know either, but it's not your past.
Yeah.
I don't know why either. And I'm confused with you, but it's not your past. It's nothing you've done.
Yeah.
He's not mad at you.
Yeah.
He's not disappointed in you. Mm-hmm. He's just using you in other ways right now. And like reminding each other of that.
Because so good.
We need it.
We need it.
We can be in seasons of hope. Yes. 100%. But also there are seasons of hopelessness.
Yes.
Needing to remind each other of those things.
That's why friends are so important. That's why sisters in Christ are so important. And God is just, he's never late. He's so purposeful. He has this beautiful plan. And I don't want to, like I said earlier, I just don't want to get to the end of my life and be like, Kenzie, why did you spend so much time trying to get from point A to point B? Like 30,000 view, look at your life and go, wow, it's so good. And so I've really learned that the last year. And it's going to make me a better mom and a better wife. And I'm really grateful. There's so much good in getting married early. There's also so much good in getting married later.
Yes.
Both are beautiful. Yeah. They're just so different. And if I had to choose, I'd pick the way that my life is going because I love it. I get so much time with myself. I know myself in a way I never have. So just another way to encourage you guys, like write a list of all the things that you're getting to do that your married friends don't get to do because you don't want to get to marriage and go, oh man, I didn't take advantage of the season that I was in.
Yeah, I think it is. It is just so much of accepting where you're at. And like you said, there's good in both and there's hard in both.
Yeah.
And one of my sweet sister-in-laws was talking to me about that. And she got married. All my brothers got married young. And one of them was just saying, like, it's the same. Like, you still grow up together. You're still in your 20s growing up. So either one, you're with somebody growing up together. And that's its own hard. Like, figuring out how to grow up with somebody else and figure out who you are with somebody. That's hard. But it's also hard to do it alone.
Yeah.
Like we're doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know that I would choose this. I honestly would probably choose getting married earlier because it just seems easier.
Mm-hmm.
But then I can say that to some of my married friends and they're like, no, you don't know who you are.
Yeah.
It would be, you know, so I don't know. And I think it's funny because you could probably make arguments for both. And I have some amazing girlfriends who will literally say, like, oh gosh, Sarah, I envy your life. Like, I wish I could travel and do all these things that you do. And I'm like, I wish I had a man to go to bed with and kids to feed and like grass is always greener.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that is just life.
Yeah.
Like we can continually do that if we're not learning how to be grateful for where we're at.
Yeah.
And I'm so guilty of it. So anyways, I hope the message that y'all hear from us is just there is hope in singleness. And I think there are hard days, absolutely. But reminding yourself of who God is and his faithfulness, I think is what we would probably both agree of. Just carried us and letting him build our story and write our story.
Yeah.
And he has a plan and he knows the future. Like it would be so easy if we were like, well, I know at 35 I'm getting married. Like I'm 32 and I'm like, okay, if I knew I had till 35, then I would know.
100%.
But we don't know.
Yeah.
But what if we lived our lives that way?
Yeah.
And what if we can start living our lives that way?
Yeah.
Just like, God, we believe good things are coming, whether it's a husband or not, whether it's, you know, more clients for me, an expansion of your business, like whatever it may be, just knowing God has it in control.
Yeah, he does.
And we can just rest in that.
Yeah. It's so good. I feel like we need to mic drop. I think we need to probably wrap at that because that was so good. Wow. That was so good. That was so good.
And remember, even if you're in your 30s and you're single, he is still good.
So good.